303-443-4438.
Berkey, because the water you drink may not be as clean as you think.
Ooh, ooh.
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It was wonderful.
Oh, bravo.
More.
You are listening to The Micro Effect. Microbroadcasters covering 194,000 square miles and bringing the people's voice to little towns all across America.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to The Story Behind the Story. You know, I'm Richardson filling in for Dr. H. Sherrod. I just got a message from Bob Burton, who was supposed to be my guest. He had to go up on a hill to get any kind of phone reception for where he's at. he said that when they left this morning, everything was fine. The hard line, the phone was just fine. When he got back, the whole box... switchboard, the box outside of his house had been torn down, smashed, and the phone inside his house had been apparently smashed as well. And the signal is not steady. I feel badly for Bob, although Bob, this certainly isn't going to be the first time that this particular whistleblower has... come under this kind of attack. So he's a big boy, and I'm sure he'll get over it. But wow, I fortunately have not had any type of thing like that happen to me. But gosh, maybe someday I'll get to the point where I'm causing enough pain and suffering to the powers that be that my phone box will get smashed. One can only hope to be such a martyr, I suppose. Listen, I'd like to, again, if anybody wants to call in, have a little chat, help me out here for the next hour, that'd be wonderful. But I would like to go over some of the ingredients in this food, this modified atmospheric packaging, because, you know, you really need to know this, because you might very well be suffering from some of the foods you're eating, some of the vegetables that you might think are actually helping in your health, because they might be coated with something that you are allergic to. This would be like handing out penicillin to just anybody without asking if there's an allergy to it. I mean, it's the same thing. You're handing out, you're covering the food supply with something without, informing people that they might be allergic to it. Let's just go down a list of some of the things that are being used. Shellac, as we discussed, is a resin. It's secreted from the female lac bug on trees in the forest of India and Thailand. It's produced, sold as dry flakes, which are dissolved in ethyl alcohol to make liquid shellac. And it's used as a brush-on colorant, food glaze, and wood finish. Oh, natural primer. It's a sanding sealant, tannin blocker. Odor blocker, stain, and high gloss varnish. Used in a lot of other things as well. One of the less dramatic aspects of what they're using is shellac, because it has been used on food for quite some time. Not the best thing, considered it's also used in hardwood floors, wooden wall, and ceiling paneling, but not the most horrible thing. Then we come to something called morpholine. Morpholine is a common additive in parts per million concentrations for pH adjustment in both fossil fuel and nuclear power plant steam systems. Morpholine is used because its volatility is about the same as water. So once it is added to the water, its concentration becomes distributed rather evenly in both the water and steam phases. It has a pH adjusting quality, which, boy, if anybody knows about Schuot's work, his PhD and his work in health, you know, pH is a very, very important aspect of your health. And so we are adding a pH adjusting agent to these modified atmospheric packagings. It's often used in conjunction with ammonia or hydrazine to provide a comprehensive all-volatile treatment chemistry for corrosion protection for the steam systems of such manufacturing plants. Ay, ay, ay. Morpholine decomposes reasonably slowly, so it stays in your body for quite some time in the absence of oxygen at high temperatures and pressures in these steam systems. It actually doesn't decompose, which is one of the reasons they use it. Again, this is a plasticizer. It's also important to notice that the European Union has forbidden the use of morpholine in fruit coating. So obviously this is not just a United States phenomenon, no doubt going through the United Nations. The European Union has forbidden its use, and yet it is still used widely in USA, Canada, Australia, and other parts of the world as a food additive for coatings of fruits and vegetables. Countries that are using this, keep in mind, they're fully aware, and obviously the FDA is fully aware that these restrictions exist on many of the additives and chemicals, compounds that they're using here. The reason that morpholine is not permitted in Europe is because it is known to be a precursor of N-nitrosamorpholine, which is a carcinogen. For those that don't know what a carcinogen is, it causes cancer. Fruits and vegetables. Wonderful. Then there's a little thing called cellulose gum, carboxymethyl cellulose, which is actually a synthesized cellulose, not of animal origin. CMC is used in food science as a viscosity modifier or a thickener to stabilize emulsions in various products, including ice cream. So it's not just fruits or vegetables. It is also in laxatives, diet pills, KY jelly, non-food products, diet pills, water-based paints, detergents, textile sizing, and various paper products, used primarily because it has that high viscosity. It's non-toxic, or so they say, and is hypoallergenic. It's used in laundry detergents. It's also used as a lubricant in non-volatile eye drops, which is artificial tears. All in your food supply. It's just amazing when you think about it. It's also used in the oil drilling industry and as an ingredient of drilling mud, where it acts as a viscosity modifier. Imagine what it's doing to the viscosity of your system, your own body. And then they add a little thing called paraffin, which is a medicinal liquid used to aid bowel movement in persons suffering chronic constipation. It passes through the gastrointestinal tract without itself being taken into the body. But it limits the amount of water removed from the stool, so it's affecting the way your body chemistry works. In the food industry, where it may be called wax, it can be used as a lubricant in mechanical mixing applied to baking tins to ensure that loaves are easily released when cooked, and as a coating for fruit and other items requiring a shiny appearance for sale. So paraffin, you know, it's a modified atmospheric packaging that's used to make your fruit shiny. Meanwhile, it's going into your system. Your body is passing it straight through your bowel system, and it's creating a state where your bowel, your gastrointestinal tract, is not working in the way that your body naturally wants it to. All to make your apples shiny. God. Mineral oils have also been widespread in widespread use. Paraffin wax is a food grade substance, and it's used in candy making. Although edible, it is not digestible. This is, I think this is very important, because we're basically eating these foods that are indigestible, but we're also putting it on our fruits and vegetables, which are highly digestible, making part of the fruit indigestible. Passes right through the body without being broken down. It's a coating for many kinds of hard cheese, like Edam cheese. It's a sealant for jars, cans, and bottles. A sealant. Imagine again what it's doing when it comes in contact with your body, what it might be sealing. Chewing gum and other uses. It's used for candle making and various other crazy, crazy, crazy list of things. Most of them non-food. Then there's a little thing called N6, and I won't even try to pronounce this word, but it's called CML, also known as N-epsilon. Lysine, carboxymethyl lysine, which is an advanced glycation end product, or AGE. CML has been most used for AGEs in food analysis, an advanced glycation end product is the result of a chain of chemical reactions after an initial glycation reaction. Side products generated in intermediate steps may be oxidizing agents, such as hydrogen peroxide. I think that we can understand that you don't want an oxidizing agent in your body when your body's trying like the devil to be, you know, to create these antioxidants. Oxidants will certainly harm your body, and therefore you're going to have to work double time to produce antioxidants. But we're putting this in our food and on our food to protect the profit model. There's so many. I could go on for hours on just these ingredients and how harmful they are. It's really frightening. Gelatin, gelatine is another substance used, and of course it's derived from collagen, which is animal skin and bones, commonly used as a gelling agent. So if you're eating fruits with gelatin on them, as they're coating, you're not a vegetarian. It's like a practical joke of the century from the FDA on vegetarians. It's almost humorous when you think about it. Now the question is, really, could this food safety practice be causing harm and promoting disease and harmful pathogens? And obviously the answer is yes. MAP produce is vulnerable from a safety standpoint because modified atmospheres may inhibit organisms that usually warn consumers of spoilage, while the growth of pathogens may be encouraged. Also, slow-growing pathogens may further increase in numbers due to the extension of shelf life. Currently, there is concern that the psychotrophic foodborne pathogens, such as what we were talking about earlier, all of those botulisms and listerias, can be potential health risks. There's some concern about the use of MAP with respect to this organism. Basically, this goes on to say and list many, 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 many instances of foodborne illness where the FDA came out and said, hey, we're going to have to recall all the spinach because guess what? There was a foodborne illness caught over here, so we're going to have to destroy all the crops. Never, never telling you that they were the ones that caused it. Listen, we have a caller to break up the monotony of me. Linda, and we didn't see where she was from, but if Linda is there, how are you doing, Linda?
It's fine. You're not monotonous. You're making some good sense. Just a comment on this, a couple comments. A few years ago, my family had an organic apple orchard out in Colorado. My son, who was then somewhere between 8 and 10 years old, accompanied a man who was helping us with the orchard. After the apples were picked, he accompanied them out to the processing plant where they were going to be sold. And there he observed that they put the apples in vats of liquid, dumped in containers of stuff as the wax that you're talking about, that had skulls and crossbones on them. My son wasn't stupid at age 8. He figured out they're putting those apples in poison. That was the wax they were using to preserve it. He has refused to eat apples from the grocery store ever since because he knows that they're poisoned. Now, we found out from that the wax just doesn't stay on the surface of the apples. It soaks into the apples. So even if you peel the apple, you're still getting that wax. And
it's frightening.
Yes, it's dilute, but not something you want to eat. And even
but
the 10-year-old can figure that one out.
You're talking about a combined, you know, say you eat an apple every day or two apples every day. You're building this stuff up in your system. It's causing health problems that you don't even know what it's being caused from, because a lot of people, again, are allergic to some of these products. I won't go down the whole list, but it's a huge list of things, and it's frightening when you think about it, especially when your 8-year-old kid could figure it out before any of us do.
And what I've done ever since is I buy apples from local growers that don't that aren't waxed, and then I store them in an auxiliary refrigerator for the rest of the year. We don't eat waxed apples. Now, just another comment, and this is directed, I guess, at people who are LDS and of my generation. President Spencer Kimball always admonished us every conference to have a garden. And, you know, maybe I couldn't figure out why he would want us to have a garden, but I could think of some reasons. But I followed that advice, and I've got a huge garden. Now we grow all our own vegetables. But thank goodness, after I'm hearing this. But this is starting to provide some kind of an explanation why it might be necessary to have those skills.
Well, that's
if we don't grow it ourselves, we can't trust it.
No, you cannot trust. I guess this boils back down to, you know, the previous four conversations. You cannot trust an agency that is regulating a for-profit industry that the government is literally making, you know, has stock investment and profit in. You have a for-profit model. You're never going to get the type of regulation that you need in a structure where the bottom line is more important than the safety of the people. Okay, the FDA is not about keeping people safe.
Yeah, you never get anything for the benefit of the people in a fascist government, and that's precisely what we have.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I have to say. To keep up the good work.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling, and keep up the gardening.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
We do it year round. I'm taking out the rest of the winter garden this week, and the spring garden is we'll have peas probably within a week.
Well, now wait a minute, Linda. Don't you go anywhere, because this is one of my one of the subjects I really want to talk about. I've heard several interviews referring to winter gardening and the fact that about 93% of all winter vegetables have been completely done away with, taken out of the public consciousness.
Uh-huh. I mean, so when's the last time you found collards at your local grocery store? Or turnips?
Well, winter onions. We're talking about fruits and vegetables that are planted. You know, it used to be, apparently, in history, it's something I'm still researching, but apparently in history, they used to not only have the summer crops or the spring crops, but they also had the winter crops. And there was a whole selection of just as abundant as is our spring crops of winter crops. And again, these seeds are gone. They're gone from existence. The only places that still have them are certain seed vaults in, like, the Norwegian countries that people actually can request to grow. But you have to get permission. You have to actually submit a massive form stating that the purpose of your desire to acclaim these seeds. And that blew my mind. That means that we could have gardens all year round. We could have you know, right when the abundance of fruit that you've grown in the summer is gone, your winter crops would start producing. Everybody just lets their garden go fallow because nobody really, I mean, I didn't know that there was these winter vegetables.
Well, there are, and the seeds are still somewhat available, but going fast. Unfortunately, Monsanto is rapidly buying up all of the heirloom and non-hybrid seed companies, so it's getting harder and harder to find particularly certified organic heirloom and non-hybrid seeds. But you can still get some of them, and you, even if they're not heirloom varieties, you can get some non-hybrid varieties. And
do you know any websites?
Oh, gee, there's a bunch of them out there. I don't know any off the top of my head, but what we've been doing, and we've been doing it now for a little over a year, it's been a highly successful experiment, is we've been using low tunnels, and what those are small row-specific greenhouses. What you do is you get a 9-gauge wire cut about a 6-foot length. We've got 20-foot rows in our garden. So we put they're about 3 feet wide, so we put a hoop of this wire about 2 feet apart along the row. So there's about 10 hoops of wire along the row, and we get four mil plastic, 10 feet wide, cut it about 25 feet long, put it over the hoops, weight it down on either side, with 2 2x4s per side. And we very successfully grew, I'm actually out here in the garden right now, we grew endive, spinach. Spinach is fabulous in the winter. It gets really thick and sweet. Chard. Don't grow romaine lettuce. It doesn't do well. But endive and some other kinds of lettuces, especially some of the heirloom lettuces, grow very well. Beets. Turnips are terrific. What you do is you plant these in the fall, sometime between August and September, so they're nearly a full mature size by mid-November. By mid-November, they cease growing, but that you can maintain them. Now, if you want to continue growing them, then you need to put another tunnel over your low tunnels or your cold frames or whatever. But just to maintain them, they will grow slow. The root vegetables continue to grow slowly. I should have thrown in some collards and kale and carrots into the mix because we had some of those too.
Is this just a roll of plastic, just thin plastic, or is it actually thick plastic?
Just a roll of plastic that you go down to Lowe's and buy, or Home Depot, or whatever. When you want to go out and harvest, you have to weed, of course, because weeds don't grow real fast in winter. And you have the water because moisture doesn't get in under the tunnel. But you don't have to do it very often in the winter. And I harvested every week throughout the winter, without missing a single week. And, we had fresh fruit all winter.
How do you water?
In the winter, with an operation the size of mine, which is it's a good-sized garden, but it's not massive, with a watering can. Just don't get one of these stupid decorative watering cans. Get a good, sturdy, serviceable aluminum one that holds a bunch of water, and just water it with a watering can. You don't need that much in the winter.
If your vegetables are covered, how are you getting the water to them?
Take the 2x4 off and throw back the plastic.
Okay.
You can do that on a nice day.
And actually creating an artificial heat source, too, just from the ozone and the moisture.
Yeah. It's about 10 to 15 degrees warmer. Say it's 30 degrees outside or 20 degrees outside. It's about 10 degrees warmer under the tunnel than it is under in the ambient atmosphere. Now, you want to plant cold, hardy vegetables. The tomatoes won't cut it in the low tunnel. But if you plant cold, hardy vegetables that are good down to about 28 degrees, you can get down to 18 degrees and still maintain your harvest. So I live in Springville. So in Intermountain West here, it works out just fine. Now, another thing we did, things don't start growing again till the days are short enough that they don't really grow until about February 15th. You can maintain them, but then they start growing again. And at that point, I experimented, and the year before I started teas on the 1st of March, but this year I started them on February 15th when I noticed that the spinach was starting to grow again. And my peas now, I'm standing here looking at them. They are they're blossoming, and I should have peas next week. Most people have just gotten their peas in now, and they're probably just coming up. So, by the time their peas mature, it'll be too hot for them, and they'll be fried, and they'll stop producing. And I will have had 6 to 8 weeks of harvest.
Wow, you're my hero. You're my gardening hero now. Thank you so much for calling in. And, talk about us. You know, it's always nice to have the solutions put forth for you. I highly suggest people look into this phenomenon that is really, you know, it really is out of public comprehension, and that is the winter vegetables, the winter gardening. I think winter gardener typed into a search engine will bring up quite a bit of information on that. And it really is, you can store food as well, but, you know, to have the option of actually being able to grow in the wintertime, I think, is a very important thing to bring back into the consciousness and to, well, to start sharing seeds again.
Yeah. Now here's another concept for you. You can start your spring garden about March. We started it about March 1st. And now my winter garden is going to seed. I'm germinating beet seeds this year, not chard. Do not germinate beets and chard simultaneously. They cross-pollinate, and you get cheats. You don't get chard, you don't get beets, you get cheats. Believe me, I've done it. So the chard is coming out, and the beets are going to seed. Between March 1st and March 15th, I planted the spring garden, which is I've got about three varieties of lettuce here, some turnips. And turnips, when they're cold during the winter, the turnips were fabulous. I've never had better turnips than the winter turnips. And then they're really delicious in the spring. Then they get kind of woody when it warms up, so it's good to plant them early. I'm on my third crop of radishes now, and the spinach is gorgeous, and my kale's coming up. Those are all ready to eat. We've been eating them nonstop, and then once the peas will be coming on, and we'll be then in about a couple weeks we'll be planting our summer garden.
So the true historical farmer really never gets a vacation. That's the nuts and bolts of it. You don't just plant in one season. You plant and you harvest in every season. And then, you know, that's incredible. And I thank you for calling and sharing that with us, Linda. We've got some music coming, and we're taking a break. Hey, Linda.
Okay, well, have a great day.
We'll be right back on The Story Behind the Story.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, sir. I think you saved my life.
Evidence, Johnson. Even raccoons respect the authority of a man with good nutrition. That's me. Now, what's going on here?
Well, he started it, sir. I was trying to clean this fish, and he tried to take it from me.
Yeah, well, you must have looked a little wimpy.
Sir, I'm hungry.
Johnson, if you'd have brought your own supply of freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy, like I told you, you wouldn't have to be out here picking on the cute little animals.
Oh, I'd give anything for a big chunk of protein right now.
Johnson, don't salivate. It's unbecoming a Marine.
I'm sorry, sir. I should have called the freeze-dry guy.
Bugs you, don't it, Johnson. You're suffering your MREs, and I'm enjoying chicken a la king and lasagna and bacon and eggs for breakfast.
Sir, shut up.
Johnson?
Sorry, sir.
Get your own supply of the best long-term storage food available. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com.
Camping, hiking, backpacking, Alice packs, military surplus, tactical gear. The list goes on and on and on. You can find it at CJL Enterprise. That's ENTERPRIZE.com. You can call us at 816-359-7945. We are open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year on the web. Again, it's CJL Enter, ENTERPRIZE.com. CJL Enterprise.com. You can call us at 816-359-7945. CJL Enterprise.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, a first-of-its-kind, personal, practical, and portable water purification system for those on the go. As you know, we discontinued the Mini Berkey with ceramic elements several years ago because the output of the filtered water was a meager pint per hour. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality 304 stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sport water bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.4 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, your desk at work, and much more. Get your Go Berkey kit today by calling 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or visit us on the web at berkeywater.com. Sorry, not yet available in Iowa.
Hello and welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you are depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you are dyslexic, press 69696969. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk to you.
MicroEffectLive.com. Undistorted truth. Talk hosts that blow the horn on the Matrix world. Welcome to the MicroEffectLive.com. Say goodbye to fake news. Say goodbye to fake radio. Welcome to the MicroEffectLive.com. The intelligent source for news, updates, and of course, the truth.
All right, folks, welcome back. Got the story behind the story. Well, I want to thank Linda for calling in. That was a pleasure. I really need to do some more research into that winter gardening stuff. I know there's some folks around here in Utah that are participating in that, that have sent away and requested those seeds from somewhere in the Norwegian countries, in those massive seed vaults they have back there. And it's a very incestuous, very small group of governments, actually, that actually have those seeds. And like I said, it's been extremely, dormant in the American mind, this fact of being able to grow just as many vegetables as you can in the summer. In the winter, and I suppose just one more cog in the wheel of making folks dependent on the people who do know this information and who are importing those vegetables from other countries. So we have another caller from Greg. Greg, are you there?
I'm here.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Salt Lake.
Oh, hey, I recognize this guy.
How's it going?
Good, good. How are you doing?
No, not too bad.
Greg yeah. and I used to be in We Are Change Utah together. Long-time members who've recently sort of, separated ourselves from the group for different reasons. But anyway, what's going on, Greg?
I wanted to comment on I read your blog and I saw that Bob Burton video that you posted on there where he shows the overall structure of how the world organizations feed all these different entities.
Like, it's a little frightening, isn't it?
Yeah. I've never seen it laid out like that. I've researched it before, and it really just, the bell went off in my head. You remember the Tim DeChristopher trial that was here, the land lease auction kids mm-hmm. that went in there and disrupted the whole thing and all that. And so
well, that was where he made a bid on land because he wanted to protect the land.
Right. Which was, it's a good thing, you know. But last year they had his sentencing trial. And I went downtown, and I was hanging out with the whole activist crowd there. I bet there was 500 people there outside the courthouse, all protesting, you know, doing their thing. And I took a few minutes to talk to a few of them, and just to get the overall feel of, you know, when it comes to Agenda 21, and you see all that coming down the pipeline, and you see these environmental activists standing up, especially with this Tim DeChristopher thing. That was a big thing. That made a big stink. I wanted to get the overall opinion of the members of these environmental groups over there, because there were several different factions there from California, Colorado, just everywhere. And they all spoke, and I was asking each of them, you know, what their environmental views were and what their opinion of Agenda 21 was, and, you know, out of a dozen people I talked to, none of them could tell me what Agenda 21 was about. And as you're standing there talking to them, the light rail system, which is a main part of Agenda 21, was, you know, zipping past us with billboards on the side of it saying, the new Southwestern line is, you know, implemented, you know, right on time, just like we planned, like plastered across the side of the thing. And I'm thinking, I'm asking them, why do you think the light rail is here? Is that for, you know, is it for convenience? Did you vote for that? Did you say, okay, spend my tax dollars on that? And they say, no, it's a good thing. It's green. And I conclusion that none of these activists actually knew about Agenda 21. They're all feeding the, you know, on the same thing, you know, carbon credits are going to be a good thing.
Let's face it. I mean, I grew up, you know, a member of Greenpeace. Okay. We all grow up with complete, complete in your face propaganda about organizations like the Sierra Club and organizations, these non-governmental organizations who get taxpayer money, who get massive funding from private associations that pretend to be government organizations. And yes, it's a very, very important tier. Now, what Bob did in that video, and again, that is posted on my blog, he broke it down in such a wonderfully evil, but wonderfully easy to understand way in the pyramidal structure that we're all accustomed to, where the top of the pyramid is the top of the chain. And these non-governmental organizations were really quite low on the chain, because they're the ones that are basically the propaganda machines to the people. This is how we got the concept of going green. This is these are like the ministers of propaganda that tell the people, hey, we need $1 million so we can stop the logging up here, or we can stop we can shut off the water to all the farmland in California. because of this minnow that it's killing, the minnow of which there's billions and billions and billions on this planet, but it's endangered somehow, right? This is how this operates. So if you want to shut down the farming industry in California, and trust me, I used to live there. I drove all the way from LA to Sacramento, past Bakersfield, all the way 200 miles of farmland, completely barren, dry, with signs that say Congress created Dust Bowl. The water was shut off because of a minnow. Okay, it was a lie. It's been exposed as a lie, and yet here I'm driving along, and to be honest, I cried at one point because I'm looking and I'm seeing these massive fields of trees that were used to be fruit-bearing trees, and they're right by the water, right by the aqueduct. The aqueduct is literally, the water is literally running right past these trees, and the trees are dead, and their branches are reaching out as if they're trying to reach the water. But you have a whole 200 miles worth of dead fields, a dust bowl created by Congress, who, through these organizations, convinced people that a minnow, a bait fish, is endangered. Okay, this is the role of green, non-governmental organizations, charities, whatever you want to call them. They're one of the most important functions in the implementation of this global green initiative, this sustainable development. It's frightening. And, obviously when you talk to people, no idea that this is the case. How could I have known? I was a member of Greenpeace up until a few years ago before I started learning this, understanding this, and seeing that these organizations are not what they appear to be.
Right, and due to what you taught me about, CAFRA reports, and looking at the financial structure, and especially the tax exempt structure of, most of these organizations. You look at every single one of them, and, they don't, it's not like a regular CAFRA report. You get the annual reports, the ones you have to pay for to get all the information. But, you look at some of the bigger ones, and I researched a bunch of those groups that were there in the Christopher trial, and they all showed the same thing. You'll get contributions by, certain, they're people, labeled in, 5,000, 10,000, but then you'll get matching donations, and you look into that, and that's where basically all their funding comes from, and it's, the Fortune 500 companies that are set up to, take your invested tax dollars and then reinvest them into the system, propagating, the lies through these nonprofit organizations, and it's just that over and over again, it's just like a snake eating its own tail.
And it's all being organized, like I said, through that United Nations, the foundations, and the United Nations, the World Bank, with its human development, the same organization in the United Nations, which is a World Bank funded organization, human development, is simultaneously in charge of human development and in charge of population, the Population Council of the United Nations. So, there's always an alternative. There's always an ulterior motive to what these guys are doing. And if you look hard enough, you will certainly find it. Now, when they were there at that trial, were they supporting it?
Yeah, they were. 100%, they're out there. Like, some are dressed as cheerleaders doing, camps they made with, a homemade stage there, and just,
Well, and I guess the scary thing is that they were probably people like you and me who don't know any better, who are there thinking that they're representing an organization that actually cares. Really, they're their organization. It's an example of the propaganda. So we have a guy who actually walked the walk. He got up. He said, "Okay, I'm gonna bid for, I'm gonna bid so that an oil company can't come in and destroy this land." Now, whether he was a prop or not, again, remains to be questioned. But then you have all these organizations now that have an excuse. They have an excuse to ask for your money, just like Republican and Democratic parties, which are 100% private associations, non-governmental organizations, ask for your money so that they can elect a bloodline president. Well, you have you have these green organizations that will always find something for you to donate your money to. Instead of you, the people, actually going out and doing something about it, we've been fooled into thinking that the responsibility for such things needs to fall upon these wonderful organizations who protect the environment and who are green. And, gee, because of that, I better be green because, you know, it's guilt for wanting to have more land than I should. I should be stacked and packed in an apartment somewhere, not growing food of my own on a farm. This is all coming down from these groups who are all part of Agenda 21. And that's the whole concept of Agenda 21, is to stack them and pack them in cities and rewild, I should say, the areas. But what we find, most importantly, about the rewildernessing, the taking of people's property and closing of roads, mountain roads, to their properties, to the access of federal and public lands, reclamation areas, we find that those lands are getting sold off. They're being privatized. They're going to be used for oil and mineral exploration, water. You're going to tap into those underground aquifers, and they're going to sell it to us, the water that we, if we wanted to, if we had the balls, could go tap ourselves. They're going to go, and they're going to sell that to us in a nice little nice little plastic bottle called Fiji water or Starbucks water, or every other bottled water is basically coming from Nestle Corporation. Every single brand you buy practically comes from either Nestle, Coke, or Pepsi. Hundreds of brands, all from the same corporations, who are stealing water rights from other countries. And they're doing it through green initiatives. And that's the story here. These guys, they're coming to the rescue and to the aid. And if you get down to it, there's no way that they're going to affect any change, because change or protection of this person who did this wonderful thing is not the goal. The goal is to put the illusion out there that these organizations are protecting us. They're protecting the environment. And so they're going to support someone like this, knowing full well that they're not going to be able to do anything, just like signing a petition isn't going to be able to do anything. It has no legal foundation whatsoever. So just by them setting up a booth and collecting money from otherwise good people who know nothing about their true agenda, that is the story of these organizations. And it is a sad, sad thing. And all this stuff that I talk about, I talk about it not to put people down, not to say, oh, you fools. No, I was the person who was fooled by all of this. It took me just hours and days and years of poring over documents and research to understand what the heck's happening. And that's why I invited Bob here today, who unfortunately got his phone torn down while he was trying to get home to call in. And it won't be the first and it won't be the last time that whoever it is messing with him. So anyway, it's horrible. The propaganda machine in this country is unmatched. It's unsurpassed in any plausible other situation I can think of.
It is, and it's got us all by the throat. Well, most of the people here. I don't know if you noticed downtown that the new City Creek project, City Creek Center,
funded by the Mormon Church.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. The, you know, the nifty little shopping, you know, little shops on all the base levels with, you know, stack on pack and living quarters above, bike lanes everywhere.
It's a prime example. If you want to see Agenda 21 in action, you do two things in Salt Lake City. You go downtown to see what they're doing with exactly what you just said, and you there's a website also that you can go to, which is the Salt Lake Area's Agenda 21 website, basically. And I'm trying to think of the name of it. I'll think of it. But go ahead.
It's not just that. Here's one thing I found out just because of the field of work I'm in. I 20 years I built custom homes. I'm talking, you know, $10 million plus dollar homes around Park City, Deer Valley, some here in Salt Lake Valley and that. But when the 2008 crash happened and everything, you know, went to pot, you know, that's when I started looking into things, and I learned from you about land lease bonds or land secured bonds. And I remember in the past, we'd drive around the city and doing our whatever we were doing, and we'd say, hey, why is all this commercial construction going on? Why are all these shops being built, all these strip malls, and we didn't know. And then I've noticed around my neighborhood out here in West Valley that there's been this vacant, I want to call it farmland, just fields that have been filled since I, you know, was born. All of a sudden, I've got these condominium complexes popping up all over the place. And I'm thinking, you know, there's no market for buying a home right now. You know, every contractor I've ever worked for has gone under. And I looked into it, and it's all subsidized by land-secured bonds, by, you know, putting us in debt to further this Agenda 21 housing. You know, they're phasing out the old homes. These old, you know, homes that we're living in now, they're only going to last for so long.
You build new, they're taking up too much room. The whole concept behind that is it's not to provide anything, you know, wonderful and spectacular. The concept is, hey, these people are taking up too much room. We're overpopulated. Even though you fly across the United States and only 1% of it is really occupied, we're overpopulated. So we have to build new homes. Now, keeping in mind that the logical thing to do would be one of two things. Either create a program, a government program that puts people into homes that are already built and that might need improvement, and some of those programs exist, your HUD, your type of programs, or to make a rule that says no new housing can be built until the old housing is occupied. This would make sense. It would be logical. But see, we're not talking about helping people. We're talking about bonds making a profit. We're talking about putting money into an investment fund, investing that, and then finally building some houses. Well, the investment income retains and is kept by government. The whole concept here is to not only enrich themselves and their buddies who own these construction companies, probably most of the people who you know are now working for these big companies who are taking on the Agenda 21 green initiatives. They're building sustainable development housing, right? All secured by a bond that is floated by the city, a 30, 20, 10-year bond that might sit there for 10 years before it's even used. And, of course, that money, regardless, is being invested. It's being borrowed by someone else or loaned to someone else. And the investment capital, the return on the investment, is being kept and used for other projects. And it's just a vicious circle, and it's going to keep going on and on and on. And you're going to see new housing developments being built, new condominiums, and then you're going to see them torn down and some other ones. It has nothing to do with improving life quality for people. It is only a profit-based model. It's the same as a manager who has extra money wanting to show that he has no money and using that money to buy a bunch of chairs he doesn't need or pay $1,000 for a toilet seat, whatever. You're just trying to, in your budget reports, you're just showing the people that you have used all your money. Everything else has gone into investment funds, which you don't report on the budget. So you need new taxpayer money. You need to float more bonds. Meanwhile, trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions, some people say into the quadrillions, are just sitting there without anybody knowing it. And, of course, Walter Burian always says that the easiest way to steal money from people is if they never knew it existed in the first place. And that, my friends, is exactly where we are today. Now, I did some searching, and I remembered we talked about this on the radio here locally. If anybody wants to see a true Agenda 21 website, how Agenda 21 has affected a whole area, this area where I think we have, what is it, 2 or 3 million people in the Salt Lake area. You need to go to a website called Envision Utah, envisionutah.org, and check it out, because you will see how this whole thing is being implemented. If you explore this site, you'll see things you won't believe on this site. The front page says that Utahns have prospered under the vision of pioneers who first entered this state. But by 2050, our population will double to 5 million, two-thirds of whom will be our own children and grandchildren. As one of America's fastest-growing states, we cannot take our high quality of life for granted. How we grow will affect how we and our children will live. And we will just sit and... Will we just sit back and see where growth takes us? Growth is a very sustainable word. Or will we be visionary like those who came before us and actually secure our future? So when you know the language of Agenda 21, when you know the key words like growth, smart growth, and all of the different things, well, Vicki Davis and I will talk about this extensively on Monday. You understand what this site is. You understand, and you can also look and see that Utah, Salt Lake City, the county, is very much members of ICLEI and other Agenda 21 United Nations organizations, which should be treason, but it's not. Oh, well, Greg, I want to thank you for calling. That brings us to the end of... our show didn't quite go as planned, but ended out pretty good. Wanted to thank Linda for as well for calling in. And please join us on Monday for Vicki Davis, Alex. Thank you, and have a good weekend.
Are you getting harassed by debt collectors? Do you cringe when the phone rings or when getting your mail? Are you having problems with your mortgage? Had enough and don't know what to do? Well, whatliesinyourdebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold hard cash. Discover how many people like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to whatliesinyourdebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's whatliesinyourdebt.com to find your solution.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
As snow falls on the majestic Rocky Mountains, it eventually melts. The water east of the Continental Divide travels downhill over 1,600 miles before reaching the Atlantic Ocean. On the western side, water travels downhill almost 1,000 miles to reach the Pacific Ocean. As you ponder this miracle, ask yourself this question.
How many people and animals has that water passed through before it reaches my area?
Berkey has revolutionized the way water is purified simply and naturally. At the heart of these portable systems are the Black Berkey purification elements, so powerful. powerful, these elements extract pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, heavy metals, and yeah, they can purify that downward flowing water. Berkey purification systems get rid of the unhealthy stuff in your water while leaving the healthy, beneficial materials that your body needs.
For more information on the powerful Berkey line of products, go to themicroeffect.com and click on Berkey Water Filters. That's themicroeffect.com and click on Berkey Water Filters. Or dial 888-803-4438.
On April 12th, 19...